Just a reminder for those who don't know, on a Monday evening from 6:30 to 7:30, we've got an hour of praise and worship at the church every Monday, so you can continue what we've enjoyed this morning. And just to remind you as well that after every service, including this service, there's prayer in the hall next to me there, that small hall where Ross is going. Every service is prayer available for whatever your need may be. So don't miss out on that opportunity. The people there ready and are wanting to pray with you. So after every service, that's where the place is to go. All right, we're into part three of our top 10 series, taking a fresh look at the 10 commandments given by God to Moses around 3,500 years ago. And we've covered the first two, and so today we look at commandment number three, which is found in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7, and it's on the big screen if you haven't got a Bible with you. Very powerful verse. Exodus 20 verse 7 says this, commandment number 3. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. If you're reading from the NIV version, the version there uses the words, misuses the Lord's name. So God first revealed his name to Moses in the burning bush in the book of Exodus chapter 3, and he identified himself with the word that Sandy used in her testimony a while ago. He identified himself as Yahweh, which translated into English means I am, or I am who I am. But God identified himself by name. He said, my name is Yahweh, and the name Yahweh appears about 7,000 times in the Old Testament alone. And so the obvious question this morning is, what does it mean to take the Lord's name in vain? What does it mean to misuse God's name? Well, usually the first thing that comes to mind, of course, is bad language, is cursing or swearing using God's name. And that's commonplace, we know, in normal conversation sometimes, and definitely in Hollywood movies. There's barely a movie that goes by where you don't hear the name of God or the name of Jesus being misused and abused. But even in our own life, something may go wrong, and our reaction is to use the Lord's name. It's very strange how we never hear the name of any other god or any other idol being used in vain. I never see somebody stub their toe and say, Buddha. You know? Confucius. Muhammad. But something goes wrong and we turn to Jesus and we misuse his name because there's something we're going to discover that's different about that name. I remember playing soccer many years ago for a club in town, and one of my teammates used to have a habit of when he missed the ball or he missed a goal, he would use the name of Jesus Christ. And eventually I took the trouble to ask him when he said it. He said, Jesus Christ. I said, do you also know him? And needless to say, he didn't use the name again. But so that's the obvious meaning of what it means to misuse God's name. But in saying that, some of you might be starting to relax now. You say, Mark, well, luckily that's not me. Ever since my mom washed my mouth up with soap when I was young, I've never had a problem with bad language or swearing, let alone taking God's name in vain. So, in fact, this commandment applies to other people, but doesn't apply to me. You are potentially wrong. Because there's so much more to this commandment than simply using bad language, and we'll discover that as we go along. Somebody once said, and I think it could have been Juliet, in Romeo and Juliet, could have been, she said, what's in a name? What's in a name? Well, it all depends on whose name it is. And we'll find out there's actually lots in the name of the Lord. Firstly, we'll discover that a name speaks of reputation. Reputation. For example, I say to you this morning, A.B. de Villiers. What comes to mind? Cricket. Devastating batsman. Protea. Recently retired. His reputation immediately comes to mind when I mention his name. If I say to you this morning, Ganubi Super Spa, what comes to mind? Exactly. Precisely. I think of convenience shopping at fantastic prices. Gertz, are you listening? Discounts for church members. But certain things come to mind when you mention the brand name. And so in Genesis chapter 11, for example, we have there the story of the Tower of Babel. And you can read the story for yourself. But just to summarize, the people came together and they wanted to live in a large city all together. They wanted to build a large tower that would reach up to heaven. And the reason for the ambition is found in verse 4. Very significant words. Why were they doing what they were doing? Why were they building what they were building? Verse 4 tells us that we might make a name for ourselves. In other words, we want to establish a reputation apart from God. We want to make a name for ourselves apart from God. That's not a very wise thing to do. The book of Proverbs tells us this, that a good name is to be desired more than riches. In other words, a good reputation is of much more value in the long run than a lot of money. Now, if your mind thinks like my mind, it would be great to have both. A great reputation plus a lot of money. But if you have to choose, the Bible says, always choose a good reputation over a fat bank balance. Reputation counts for a lot. And so a name speaks of reputation. But secondly, a name also speaks about character. People in the Bible times were very careful as to how they named their children. The children's names would often express the hopes and desires of the parents, almost like a prophetic statement. I'm naming you this, I'm naming you that, in the hope that as you grow up, you will develop into all that your name means. And so biblical names carry great significance. I know when we named our children, our son, we named our son Timothy. Timothy, by definition, means someone who honors God, honoring God. We named our daughter Gemma, which means someone who's valuable, someone who's precious. And as the years have gone by, in many ways, they have been prophetic names because they are growing into all that their names mean. And I thought as I prepared this service, Mom, when you named me Mark, did you have that in mind? Did you have something in mind? Not. Okay. I thought potentially not. Nevertheless, just wanted to double check there because I thought the answer was no. Now, of course, when the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary, he said to in Luke chapter 1, he said, "You shall call his name Jesus." But now, why Jesus? Out of all the names the angel could have chosen, why did he instruct Mary to name her son Jesus? Because he will save his people from their sins. So the very nature of the mission of Jesus, his job description, his very reason for coming was wrapped up in his name. And so name speaks of reputation, name speaks of character, but name number three also speaks of authority. In our church, we've got a number of headmasters that are part of our congregation, and a number are here this morning. I can count at least three. I won't mention them all by name, but at least three are here this morning, with one retired who's absent. He's not here. He's recovering from his knee operation. But if I mention the name to you, Cyril Princely, and I won't show you where he's sitting this morning, so don't look around, but Cyril Princely is the headmaster of Ganubi Primary School. Now, Cyril Princely, in his context, that name carries great authority. He's got authority over staff, over parents, over children. In his context, his name carries great authority. If one of you have got a document that needs to be certified, I'm a commission of oaths, and so you can bring the document to me for a small fee. I will stamp that document, I will certify that document, and I will sign that document with my name because my name in that context carries authority. I've been granted permission from the government to be a commissioner of oath. So names carry reputation, names carry character, but names also carry authority. Now, What about the name of Jesus? Does that name carry authority?
Well,
Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Therefore, God exalted him, who's him? Jesus, to the highest place, and he gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Talk about authority. My friends, that verse tells me there will come a day in history where every single human being from every tribe, every nation, every people group, every single person who's ever walked the face of the earth will bow their knee to Jesus. Every person. Because his name alone carries supreme authority. We see in Scripture that Jesus had complete authority over sickness and over disease. He had complete authority over the devil and demons. He had authority to forgive sin. He had authority to perform mighty miracles. He had authority to raise the dead. Authority to speak to the wind and the waves. His name carries great authority. In Matthew 28, verse 18, then Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. How much authority belongs to Jesus? All. All authority in heaven and on earth belongs to him. And so when we pray, as we're going to pray for some folk after the service with their various needs, in whose name do we pray? We pray in the name of Jesus. Why in the name of Jesus? Because that name carries authority. That name carries weight. When we use that name, things begin to happen. Things begin to change. The power, the authority is wrapped up in the very name of Jesus. I love Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. Daniel says, those who know their God will be strong and do great exploits. Why will we be strong? Why will we do great exploits? Because we know the reputation. Because we know the character. And because we know the authority of our God. We're strong and we do great things in his name. It's all wrapped up in his name. I love the story in 1 Samuel chapter 17 as young David faced the giant Goliath. He says to the giant, you come with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. In other words, Goliath, you've got impressive physical weapons, but I've got something you don't have. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day, the Lord will deliver you into my hand. My question to you this morning is, where was David's confidence sourced? In the name. In the name. And you know what? That scenario hasn't disappeared. The giants of life are still real. Sandy shared one example with us this morning. There are those in ICU, there are those facing different relational, emotional, financial challenges in this building. And so when those giants confront us, and when they intimidate us, and then when they try and fill our hearts with fear, how do we respond? How do we counteract that giant? In the name. I come against you, giant. I come against you, fear. I come against you, demon. I come against you, whatever that opposition represents, in the name of Jesus. Because the power and the victory and the authority is sourced where? In the name. In the name. So then the big question is, how then, in the light of all of that, can we take the Lord's name in vain? How do we do it practically? Well, Our first step is to unpack the words in vain. What do they mean by definition? In vain means to empty of content, to devalue, to disrespect, or to make light of. So, how or in what ways can I devalue, can I disrespect, can I make light of God's name? Besides the obvious way we spoke about earlier in terms of bad language. Well, in the Old Testament, they would make oaths. If someone wanted to borrow money and then repay that money later, he would make an oath. And by making an oath, that would be a guarantee to Mark that I would repay him what I'd borrowed. But now to give the oath credibility, to give the oath some weight, the person would swear in the name of God. And so they would say something like this: I swear by God Almighty that I will repay Mark Roebuck the money that he has lent me. And by using God's name, it added credibility, it added weight to my oath. Now the problem was, as time went on, people got casual with the name of God. They began to make oaths in God's name with no intention of ever repaying the money. And so in a sense, they use God's name for selfish gain and for their own benefit. And God says, I will hold those who misuse my name in that way accountable. You will not use my name in a careless manner and get away with it, God says. Now, in our day and age, we don't make oaths, but we do say things like, I swear to, I swear on the Bible. In fact, I had a guy in my office the other day who said, Mark, I swear on a stack of Bibles. Not just one Bible, a stack of Bibles. And guess what? He proved to be a liar. So Jesus says, and you can read his words for yourself in Matthew, he simply says, let your yes be yes, and let your no be no. Don't misuse God's name carelessly. Be a person of integrity. That when you say yes, you mean yes. And when you say no, you mean no. Because if you use God's name in a careless manner, the Bible says he will hold you accountable for that careless manner of using his name. Here's another way we can do it. We can profess his name, but in fact only be interested in making a name for ourselves. Wow. We talk about making his name great, but what we're really interested in is making our names great. And it's very easy to tell if someone's got this problem. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to work it out. Because when that person doesn't get public recognition, doesn't get publicly thanked, someone else gets the title, someone else takes the position, someone else gets the limelight, they react. They get upset. Why? Because it was never about Jesus. It was all about them. And so, Jesus warns us in Matthew 7:22. He's speaking here about people in the church, people like us. He says, Matthew 7:22, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons? And in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. What was the problem with these people? They did it in his name, but for their glory. It was never about me, Jesus says. Even your ministry was all about you. And you misused my name for your glory. And for that, I will hold you accountable. Commandment number 3. Well, what about this one as we get close to wrapping it up? Jeremiah 14:14. And this is maybe a very timely warning for the day and age in which we live. Jeremiah 14:14. The prophets are prophesying lies in my name. I've not sent them or pointed them or spoken to them. They are prophesying to you false visions, divinations, idolatries, and the delusions of their own minds. God is warning you. God's warning the church, be careful. There are people out there misusing and abusing prophetic ministry. They are making statements and manipulating people in the name of Jesus, in the name of God, and making lots of money out of it. It happened in Bible days. It can surely happen today as well. That's why in 1 John we are encouraged to test the spirits. Look what we're told. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God. Because not some, many false prophets have gone out into the world. We need to be discerning and wise. Just because somebody says, God told me, check out that prophetic word against the word of God before you act upon it. Just a quick question. Do you ever get frustrated when people say things or say you said things you never said? Or they take what you did say and they twist it or take it out of context and so it ends up being what you didn't say. Who gets frustrated with that? Can you imagine God as people apply His name and His word to situations that are so far removed from the original context? And God says, I will hold those accountable who misuse my name in that way. How then, as we close, oh, this is powerful. How then should we respond to the third commandment? If we're not meant to misuse God's name, if we're not meant to take God's name in vain, then how should we respond? Well, Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, He says, when you pray, you say this, Our Father in heaven, and here's our key word, hallowed be your name. It's an old-fashioned word, but it's a powerful word. Hallowed be your name. Yahweh, Jesus, may your name not be taken lightly. May your name not be misused. May your name be hallowed, Jesus. May be loved and respected and valued and treasured and worshipped in the way I speak, but in the way I live. Because, Lord, that name carries reputation. That name carries character. That name carries authority. May I bear the name of Jesus Christ with pride. May I not bring dishonor to the name. May I not bring disrespect to the name through the way I speak and through the way I live. No, Lord, in my life, in every facet, hallowed be your name. I lift up your name, Lord Jesus, over every area of my life. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Let us pray. What a great opportunity to just spend some time thinking about this powerful commandment. How are you doing when it comes to honoring the name of Jesus? Maybe today you want to say, Lord, I've maybe not intentionally, but I've, through the way I've spoken and through the way I've lived, I've made light of your name. Lord, in a sense, I've misused your name. I've disrespected your name. And Lord, this morning I want to repent for that. And I want you to give me the strength to ensure that in every facet of my life, the name of Yahweh, the name of Jesus, is hallowed. the way I speak, the way I think, the way I live, the way I love, the way I treat others. Lord Jesus, may your name be honored. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And now to the only God, our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory, be majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, both now and forevermore. For he alone is worthy. Hallowed be your name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.